Welcome, everybody. I'm Brother Dan Goodwin. You're watching Prosperity Spotlight, and we're going to talk today in today's program about Israel. Let me read a verse for you in Romans chapter 11 before we get started. I say then, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Now, what's Paul talking? Who are his people here? These are the Jews. These are the Hebrews. That's who he's talking about. We'll see that as we go along here. I say that, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. In other words, no way. And then he goes on, he says, for I also am an Israelite. See, that's proof that he's talking about the Jews here. He says, I'm also an Israelite. In other words, I'm one of those people I'm talking about, hath God cast away his people. You see that? Let me start over. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Israel, the Israelite. God forbid. For I, Paul, also am an Israelite, one of them God's people that he's talking about. I am also an Israelite, but he goes a little farther. He says, of the seed of Abraham, I'm of his seed. I came through the lineage of Abraham. And I'm also of the tribe of Benjamin, pointing out that the 12 tribes, and he was still in the New Testament. He's still one of those 12 tribes and makes it known right here. Okay, now he's a Christian, he's a believer, he's born again, but he's also, that doesn't change the fact of who he is. Okay, they still exist in Romans chapter 11. There are Jews. Do you see that? And the question had come up, does God care about the Jews anymore? Has he cast them aside? Let me ask you this. Has the church replaced Israel? Number two, do the Jews still exist? Number three, did the Holocaust happen? Was that just somebody's fictional story in history? Did the Holocaust happen? We're going to answer these questions in today's program and a whole lot more. So get ready, get your notebook. You might want to take a few notes. We'll be back in 30 seconds. Welcome, everybody, to the show, and Doc is with me as usual, and we're going to be talking about Israel today, because every week I keep hearing more and more people in the limelight, people with podcasts and YouTube channels and TV shows. More and more people are spreading crazy stuff out there. Basically, there's nothing new under the sun, is there, Doc?
Really not.
Here was the question in Romans chapter 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Had God cast away his people? Now, why is Paul bringing that up? Because it was happening then.
That's right.
There's nothing new about this. It's just that it's really grown in our generation. Mm-hmm. It's shockingly in the last several years, Doc.
Well, the closer we get to the fulfillment of end-time prophecy, the more hatred of the entity that provided the redemption for humanity is hated by the demonic movements.
Yeah. And he answers his own question here. He says, God hath not cast away his people, the Jews, which he foreknew. And he goes on, you can read the whole chapter here.
In chapter 11, he goes on to explain that there is a time when those natural branches out of that root was set aside, but they were not cast away.
Right.
They were set aside. And then he goes on to say there'll be a time in the future when they will be brought back in.
Yeah. And so I guess maybe there's different beliefs out there. Maybe some people think Israel's gone forever.
Yeah.
The Catholics promoted the fact that the Jews killed Christ.
Oh,
so
yes.
They're no good.
And that's where, by the way, folks, that's where replacement theology started with the Catholic Church, but they weren't the first. This thing, refuting the deity of Christ actually was something that began even in the days of the Apostle Paul. It was already being done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was simple for them to say, okay, now the church is the people of God, not the physical body of Israel.
Now you have to ask, if God has replaced it, if God has done with them, he's put them, there's no more Jews. You got to ask yourself, where in history did this happen?
That's right. I mean,
was it last week? Was it at the cross? I mean,
yeah.
And of course, what I just read in Romans is way after the cross.
That's right.
20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Probably let me read something. At least somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 years or so, because it would have been somewhere in the late 40s after that.
Yeah. So so let's go back to the book of Acts.
Now, that's right.
In the book of Acts, chapter 7, I personally believe this takes place probably around Feast of First Fruits, same year Jesus died, but it's after Jesus dies. And the Jews are mentioned here.
That's right.
And let me just read a couple of verses here up there in verse 2. And he said, "Men, brethren," this is Stephen talking, "men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." So Abraham's mentioned here. God hasn't blotted his name out. Here he is. Stephen speaks of him, our father. That's present tense.
That's right.
When he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan. And he gives a little bit of story. I want to move on down now to verse 6, I think it is. Verse 6. "And God spake on this wise that his seed," this is talking about Abraham, "his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. Now he's gone all the way to Egypt here. This is the days of Moses.
He's walking through history.
Yep. They're going to spend 400 years. Yep. These are Jews. And then verse 7, "And the nation by whom they shall be in bondage will I judge." This is the story of Moses bringing the people out. Verse 8, "And he gave them this the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham," and here's the lineage, "Abraham begat Isaac." And then it says, "Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs," which become the Israelites,
that's
what
right,
we call the Israelites.
Nation of Israel.
"And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph." And you get in the story of Joseph there. Stephen is talking about the Jews.
That's right.
They're the history here. And they certainly were not put on a shelf yet in Acts chapter 7.
That's right.
He's using them and bragging about how the Jews were who the people of God used
That's
to
right.
bring redemption into the world, to bring the body for Christ, to be custodians of the scriptures and everything.
That's
right. And so in my book here, I wrote a book called Genesis, The Beginning of All Things. In part one, which is most of the book, I talk about the beginning of all things, Genesis 1 through 11. In part two of the book, which begins on page 109, I talk about the beginning of the Jewish nation. And I thought this morning, Doc, about that verse I use all the time in Isaiah, and it's really the theme of this book. He telleth the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46:10. And I think people need to wake up and realize if you want to know about Israel, go back to the beginning.
That's right.
You got to go back to the beginning and study the nation of Israel and what God brought them and how he brought them through time there. And so I wrote this in the book. Genesis chapter 12 through 50 begins with Abraham. It's actually Abram. His name's changed later. But begins with chapter 12 through 50 begins with Abraham and ends with Joseph in a coffin in Egypt. But that's not the end of Israel.
Nope.
But this is the beginning of Israel. It's mainly the patriarchs,
that's
Abraham,
right.
Isaac, Jacob. And Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Israel has 12 sons. They're going to be the 12 tribes. They are going to be what we call the Israelites.
That's right.
And
but it all goes back to Genesis chapter 12, when God calls Abraham to leave that that land, which was underneath Babylonianism, and go to the city that God has chosen, Salem.
Yep. And now last night as I was studying this, it hit me. This chapter 12, begins right after chapter 11 of Genesis. Mm-hmm. That's the Tower of Babel.
That's right.
That's a man named Nimrod who has the people following him. In fact, they push him up to the top. And they demand that he build this tower.
He's probably on this side of the flood. He's the first picture of the Antichrist and a one world order, one world religion.
Yep. And it's right after that that God raises up his guy.
That's right.
That's going to bring in his kingdom. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about when Christ comes back on the white horse. This all leads to that.
Absolutely.
And so we have the dark side. We have the one world order led by a man named Nimrod, a Babylonian.
That's right.
With Babylonian wicked customs and
all
systems.
All the Chaldean customs and all, yes.
And then you contrast that with the man that God chooses.
That's it.
And I think you mentioned earlier about prophets. Well, talk about that a little bit.
Well, everybody is talking about the Israel days of no value. Well, I'm here to tell you, the Bible said in calling of Abraham, he has brought Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees because he's choosing genealogy. He's not only choosing genealogy, but if you follow the life of Abraham, you realize he's choosing geography that has to do with redemption plan. And so I can show you, I've got pictures that was given to me by some military men that was in the Iraq War, and I've actually got the pictures of the Tower at Ur where Abraham grew up. It's still there.
Yeah.
And so Abraham is called out, but in the calling of Abraham, there's a key there. And he said, unto thee and thy seed. He said, I'm going to make them. And many times throughout the book of Genesis, when it comes up again in Genesis 26 and 28, it's not just blessing Abraham, but it has Abraham's seed is going to be the responsible party of bringing about that which is going to benefit all of humanity. Yeah. All the families of the earth shall be blessed.
And I like how you put it when we was off camera. You said not only did God call a man like Abraham, but it's not only genealogy, it's geography.
That's right.
And I like that. Yeah. He chose a man out of and that man's going to be the father of the Jewish nation.
Absolutely. Well, it's obvious. The devil chooses him a man.
Nimrod.
Chooses him a city, Babel. Later it's going to become Babylon. And the mysteries of Babylon is going to permeate all of what we know of as history in the world and all the way through to the end of the book of Revelation. You see mystery Babylon.
We're in that battle right now. We talked about last week.
Yeah.
What's going on in Iran, the Prince of Persia.
That's right. And so the devil chooses his man, his program, and God chooses his man because he also is choosing his city. He chooses Salem. Later, it's going to become Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
And so the purpose of choosing Abraham is that through the genealogy of Abraham, through his seed, will come the body for Christ for redemption's purpose. And that's to fulfill the prophecy of Genesis 3:15. The child of the woman is going to crush your head, Mr. Devil. And the devil said, I'm going to do everything I can keep that from happening. Yep. And so here we are now coming close to the end of all of these things. And what's the devil doing? Everything he can to discredit. What's he want to do? He wants to prevent the millennial reign. Because if he has the millennial reign, that means he is absolutely doomed.
So you got genealogy and geography for Nimrod.
Yeah, that's right.
And those wicked places and all through history, you can see it.
Because when the languages were diversified there, it appears 70 different languages came about. So what happens when these 70 different language groups begin to do what God had said to begin with, scatter out? Instead of taking with them what Noah had demonstrated, building an altar and how to worship God and how to have a relationship with God, they're now going to carry with them in 70 languages in all the world how to have Babylonianism. That's where we are today. The greater majority of the world is consumed with Babylonianism. They have no idea of it, but that's the truth. And only Israel was the entity that came about because it's going to be through Israel that we get this, and it's going to be through Israel that eventually there's going to be the Virgin Mary bring forth a body, and the divine himself will inhabit that body so that he can have both a physical body to be able to identify with us and to pay the death and burial or the blood sacrifice. But yet as God, he's divine, and he rose from the grave victorious
now, Doc,
and ascended.
Isn't it interesting that the Babylonian side, the genealogy and the geography, has stolen some of our stuff?
Absolutely.
Added to it. They've took the Virgin Mary and made something out of her that's not true.
Well, if you study Babylonianism in those early days, they were already worshiping the Queen of Heaven. They were already worshiping an Easter service. They already had an egg that fell from heaven and rolled out. The doves hovered over it. Came the queen. They already had all of this. Yeah. Why? Because the devil already had figured out this virgin birth is coming. And as a result, I'm going to confuse the thinking of religion. I'm going to start this thing to begin with. Yes.
And he had his counterfeit of it
he
all.
He had it. And so what's happened is the counterfeit side, in order to make it look like it's what God would have, then you got to take some of what God has said and bring it in with
you. You brought a book with you. She's got that. She's going to put that up. Tell them a little bit about this cup of trembling and why
it's a cup of trembling. Jerusalem, the cup of trembling, gives you a lot of information about the rise of Islam and some of those things in the early days and some of those facts in the Middle East, some of the names that you have in the Bible. And then why, as Jesus said, or through the prophet Zechariah, he says, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. And if you haven't figured that out, then you've been blind to what's going on. And so with it, I give a lot of names, information, and how modern Israel today got set up as a result of the Balfour Declaration. And General Allenby made a great mistake. And I put it, it's in the book, he literally takes the head cleric of the Islamic faith and makes him the mayor of Jerusalem after Suleiman had surrendered and they had defeated the Islamic forces. Mm. It was a terrible mistake. And anyway, a lot of that's in the book along with a lot of other stuff about why Jerusalem's a cup of trembling.
So let's go back again, back up to the beginning again. We're just trying to help the audience, you folks that are listening and watching, trying to help you understand that Israel is what they always were. They're still here. The Jews are still here. The Hebrew race is still here. Yeah. And I'll explain a little more detail about that. But it all started with a man named Abram. Now, his name's going to be changed to Abraham a little later on, but it doesn't matter. It started with a man. Secondly, that man became a family.
He had
Sarai, I think is what she was called then. Later would be called Sarah, but Sarai. And they don't have any children yet, but they're going to have one through one of his bond woman there. They're going to have a child that's not the chosen one, but they're going to become a family.
That's right.
And then that family becomes Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, obviously. And Jacob, his name is changed to Israel.
Israel, friend of God.
Yeah, and he's going to have 12 sons. I think he has a daughter, too.
Yeah, yes.
I'm trying to remember her name.
No, I can't
anyway,
think of
I'm thinking Deborah, but I don't think it was Deborah. No. But anyway, there's a whole chapter in the Bible concerning her that's kind of weird, but where the Philistines wanted to marry her. Remember that story there? I'm trying to remember her name. But anyway, so you got his family. And it grows quite big, and these are what we call the patriarchal times, where the head of the household ruled, and then that family becomes a people. Now you've got distant relatives.
70 of them went into captivity, or when it moved over into Egypt. Yeah.
Okay. So you got a people.
Yes.
But that people becomes a nation.
Large group when Moses led them out.
Yeah, yes. A nation and basically made up of the 12 tribes.
That's right. They were the 12 tribes.
Although there are some proselytes, you can become a Jew.
But when you study the encampment, the encampment was by the 12 tribes including the head priest and all that in the inner circle, but the 12 tribes encircled.
Yep.
Yes.
And so that's the beginnings of this people. And they're trying to tell us that this God has thrown them under the bus. They don't. Some people think they don't exist anymore. There's no. They killed Jesus, so they had to be, killed. And last time I checked, all of us sinners had a part in Christ going to the cross.
This is one of the problems today that I'm hearing. Good people are wanting to throw Israel away because they don't see Israel today of being righteous. Well, they aren't. This is why they've been in diaspora all these years, part of judgment.
Yeah.
But God's bringing them back, not because of their worthy, according to the 36th and 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. He's bringing them back because he has some business to finish with them. Just because they are of lack of faith.
And for his sake, so because he made a promise to them.
He made a promise. And so there will be the remnant of these Jews that are alive today that survived the tribulation that will go into the millennial reign. I guarantee you.
Now, let me real quickly give a little more history here of Israel, the people of the Jews, we call them. Shem is the father of the Jewish nation in a sense because Abraham mm-hmm. came through Shem, through that line.
That's right.
The roots of the Jewish nation are given to us in Genesis chapter 12 through 50. Before we get into the beginning of the nation of Israel and of the Jews, it's important to define and understand the words, some terms here, the word Jew, the word Hebrew, and the word Israelite. The first mention of Abram is mentioned in chapter 11, actually, at the end of chapter 11. Yes. You'll see Abram mentioned and his and some of his relatives there, Terah, being his father. His name is changed to Abraham in chapter 17, not that it's a big deal right now. God said, "Thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." And I put in parentheses, father of nations is yeah. kind of what Abraham means. And so let's give some understanding here. Webster's 1828 gives the definition of Hebrew. Hebrew refers to the Hebrew race.
That's right.
A person can choose to be Jewish, but he must be born into the Hebrew race. You can choose to be a Jew. You don't have to be born into it. But you can't choose to be your race. You're born into it.
Well, there were proselytes that came out of Egypt.
Right. And one of the descendants of Eber, but particularly a descendant of Jacob, he's talking about who are the Hebrews here in Webster's 1828 dictionary. The first mention of the word Jew, this was interesting. Esther, the book of Esther,
that's right.
is the first time the word Jew is mentioned. In chapter 2, verse 5, "Now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai." And then he's mentioned again in chapter 3. It calls him, it says that he told him he was a Jew. So that's the first mention of Jew. It's believed that the word Jew came from Judah when the tribes were split, the 10 tribes were taken into Assyria. So now all you have is Judah, but it's not just Judah. It's Judah, Benjamin, and Levi.
Yeah.
There's still some Levi. I believe there's Levites on both sides there. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just Judah, but they're saying that's where the word Jew came from, mm-hmm. a twist of the word Judah. But that doesn't change anything. The word Jew after that throughout history has always meant any of the 12 tribes or anyone that proselytes and becomes a Jew. We got a mention of it in Titus. It says, "Not giving heed to Jewish fables." So that's uh-huh. the word Jewish.
Yep.
That's the only time that word's in the Bible, by the way. Jewish is kind of an adjective there. And so the Jews were descendants mostly from Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, who returned to Jerusalem under King Cyrus. But eventually the other tribes are going to join them, and they're all considered Jews just because the name Jew kind of derived from Judah. I don't think anyone's denying that that's a fact, but that doesn't change that all 12 tribes are Jews. It's ridiculous for somebody to say that. And I have that in more detail in the book that folks can read. And so there's a lot here about that. The word Israelite is the first usage is in the book of Numbers. The name of the Israelite that was slain talks about So the Israelites is just a term. Israel, Israelites, the 12 tribes, Israelites.
Yes.
And so some summary of similarities in the Bible, the words Hebrew, Jew, and Israelite are interchangeable in many cases for God's covenant people. These words are often used interchangeably in the post-70-year captivity. After the captivity, these words often were used interchangeable, but it's important to understand what each one of them really means in history. In the New Testament, Hebrew, Jew, and Israelite denote the same ethnic religious group. Abraham's seed through Jacob, the Bible treats them as near synonymous for the covenant line.
That's right.
And so I'm just trying to help folks because there's a lot of crazy stuff being talked about.
One of the things that's going around is the fact that Genesis 12, that's talking about bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And they're going to say that only applied to Abraham. But that's not true.
Not what it says at all.
Because it talks about his seed. And then in chapter 22, it says, in thy seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed. And in chapter 26, the same thing. In chapter 28, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And then again, Peter is preaching in chapter 3 of the book of Acts, and he said in verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So the blessing of those who bless Abraham and the cursing of Abraham, not just Abraham, but Abraham's seed.
Yeah.
Because his choosing of Abraham was about the seed line that was going to produce the body for the Redeemer.
All right, so my three questions I asked at the beginning of the show. Has the church replaced Israel? Of course not. God forbid, Paul said. They haven't been replaced. Do the Jews still exist? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
They're talked about in Acts 7. They're talked about in Romans chapter 11. And they're here today. They're not gone. Number three, did the Holocaust happen? Well, I wasn't there, but I've read about it. And there's just too many eyewitnesses.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
To say that the people with the tattoos on their arms, that was all a lie.
It's not.
And that's not. Okay, well, I hope we've helped some of you out there.
A lot more to it, but we've given something.
Get the book, Doc's book, Jerusalem, Cup of Trembling. My book, Genesis, The Beginning of All Things. There's a lot more in there that I couldn't get to, and you need to see that. All right? God bless you all. Thanks for listening in today. I hope we've been a help to you. Remember, we're viewer-supported here. We rely on you folks and your generosity if you can help from time to time. Okay? Appreciate it, and we'll see you next time. Keep your eyes on them skies.